1 year ago, first Sunday, the Lord blessed me to be here to speak to the saints. Little did I know that 3 weeks later, I would be on my back in a hospital with a heart attack. Fast forward 1 year to today, and the Lord has lifted me up and placed me with my feet back on solid ground, and I am here, and I'm happy to be here. I give the Lord thanks, for he is a gracious and a kind God. Thank you, sister. I'll take a sip. Before I go into my message, I heard a piece of advice and I thought to myself, I need to pass this on. You know how sometimes you get some things and you got to pass it on? And I thought I had to pass this one on. I was listening to a 19-year-old young lady, a Christian young lady, and she's very well known in the entertainment circle, been on Dancing with the Stars and all this and so on. But as she was being interviewed, she said that she was just getting ready to go into high school, and one of her aunts said something to her, and she said she has made this her motto throughout her life. And this is what her aunt said. Her aunt said to her, "Honey, 5 minutes of awkward is better than a lifetime of regret. 5 minutes of awkward is better than a lifetime of regret." And what she said was that as a Christian, we need to be able to differentiate between being in an awkward situation where your friends might laugh at you, make fun of you, but it's better to be awkward then than to be regretting an action for the rest of your life. I just thought I'd pass that on. We are in the Christmas season, and one of the songs we're going to hear sung many times is the First Noel. I don't know about you, but I've listened to that song. I've loved it for better part of my life. Well, I never tried to find out who Noel is or what Noel means. So I thought that I'd find out before I talk a little bit about Noel, although that will not be the subject of my message. So here's the answer. What is the meaning of Noel? It says, every year people sing the songs like the First Noel at Christmas, and many wonder what a Noel is. In French, Joyeux Noel means Merry Christmas. Believe it or not. It says our modern English word comes from the Middle English Noel, which Webster's 1828 dictionary defined as a shout of joy or Christmas song. The roots of the word are French, and it means the Christmas season. And that is the season that we're in now, isn't it? And it says it also might come from the old French word Noel. There are very few records given the details of the earliest Christian practices, but at least as early as the 4th century, some Christian groups were celebrating Natus Christus on December 25th, and their almanac referred to the day as the birth of Christ. It would be natural to see the derivative words like Noel and Nael used in the same way. Now, back in the Middle Ages, several English carols began with Noel, and French carols also. And since the early songs that were sung were often, the name for that song was generally used as the first word, which was Noel. So it came to refer to any song about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ because of this. The word now carries a dual meaning of a Christmas song and the Christmas celebration itself. Our English carol, The First Noel, was first published in a book titled Carols, Ancient and Modern, edited by William Sandys in 1823. The message of the song is a joyous pronouncement that the King of Israel has been born. When we sing the song or wish someone a joyous Noel, we are following the example of the angels announcing the good news that Jesus Christ was born, not just for Israel, but for all mankind, so we could receive forgiveness of sins through him. That is the story and the meaning of Noel. Now today, I want to spend the next few minutes that we have answering this question. What is the true meaning of Christmas? What is the true meaning of Christmas? That is the title of my message. The true meaning of Christmas is love. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of the Gospel of John and chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, as we look at the true meaning of Christmas. In John chapter 3, if you find it, look at verses 16 and 17 with me. And it says this: For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So the true meaning of Christmas is the celebration of this incredible act of love. Beloved, so many times as the gospel is told forth, we are reminded of the end result of rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And any good preacher worth his salt will do that because it is such a detrimental end in the process of our spiritual well-being. In other words, here God has set before us life and death. And he says, choose life. Choose life. I loved you so much that I gave my only Son, the one in whom I am well pleased. And he went to the cross to purchase us from the slave markets of sin. Hence, if I reject this gift of love, then there is an end result. But you know, we need not focus on the end result. All we need to do is to focus on the person of our salvation. His name is Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I mean, we could stop right there and we could walk away. We could say, hey, that's it. Now I understand. Many years ago, I had a friend who I was trying to explain a certain theory to her. And it was in business. And I went through it in different ways to her, and I tried to show her how this would benefit her in a certain way and so on. And she couldn't see it. A week or two later, we were talking, and I said something similar about the same event. And all of a sudden, she sat bolt upright in her seat, and she said, "No, I see it! No, I see it!" Beloved, what has happened to us is that the enemy of our souls have blinded our eyes to the truth. But the truth is really very simple. For God so loved the world, that's me, I'm part of the world, that he gave his only, his one and only son, his name is Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him, the whosoever is me, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The true meaning of Christmas is love. The real Christmas story of God's becoming is of God becoming a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. This has given so many a challenge because they try to overthink it. But you see, only God could purchase us back. So we read in Colossians, I believe, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He was buying us back. He was paying the price while buying us back. Now, I don't have to understand all the ramifications of how he did it. All I have to do is to believe that he did it and that he did it for me. He was in Christ, the person of Christ, reconciling, paying the price for you and for me. Why did God do this? Why would God do such a thing? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. So all through these years, thousands and thousands of years, we have celebrated Christmas. But have you ever stopped to wonder why Christmas was necessary? Christmas was necessary because we needed a Savior. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born as a babe in Bethlehem, and the message was told forth by the angels to the different people as he announced the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In one instance, he says, I think to the mom, he says, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's the purpose for Christmas, because we needed a Savior. Why is it that God loves us so much? We ask the question. The answer is because he is love itself. He is love. That's why he loves us. You know, we as human individuals have made so many love songs and played them, and we've had so much fun with them, you know. And if you're from the country that I was born in, you know, we have a little phrase that we used to use many years ago. I don't think the younger people are familiar with this phrase anymore. But somebody would say to his girlfriend, "Honey, I love you to no more, no more." You see, she got that one. But some of you look at me like, "What is that?" It's like, I love you without end. You know, this is what you say to your girlfriend that you're hoping to marry and spend the rest of your life with. And you're saying, "Honey, I love you so much. Like nothing can come between us." And God loves us so much that nothing could come between us when it comes to getting us back to himself. See, we had gone astray. We had gone into the highways and the byways. We have gone into the valleys. We had turned our backs on God. But God loved us so much that he came back and brought us back unto himself. Why? Because he is love itself. You ask me, how do I know that? Well, in 1 John, the same writer, different book, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, we read these words. Let me see if I can find it real quick. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says this. We are of God. No, not that one. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That is why he loves us, because he is love itself. So I ask you the question then, why do we celebrate Christmas each year? Why is it that this is such a special time for us? Why is it that we do the things we do, we buy the gifts and all outpouring of love to each other and to sometimes to people we don't even know? Pastor mentioned the box that's over here, and we're asking for gifts to give to children that are underserved and are deserving. But we don't really know them, do we? Now think about this. If we, who are just humans, can think of children that we don't know and figure that it's a good thing to give them a gift, how about considering what God has done for us through Christ Jesus? We celebrate Christmas each year, and the question is, out of gratitude for what God did for us. We remember his birth by giving each other gifts. Isn't that something? We worship him, and we're especially conscious of the poor and less fortunate. You think that this is because of something you thought of yourself, or you it just came to you? No. God has instilled this desire in our hearts to care for those who are less fortunate, to care for those who are in need. And so this is a time, beloved, when many of us might end up being subject to scams and frauds, because, you know, people come and they give you these stories and our hearts are soft, and sometimes we get careless with them and they hurt us. But even then, when we do what we do, when we give what we give, let us think about it from the standpoint, we give to them because God first gave to us. He gave us his Son, his only begotten Son. So the true meaning of Christmas is love. God loved his own and provided a way, the only way, for us to spend eternity with him. I am sorry to say to you that whereas we can make the argument that there are many roads that leads to God, I will tell you that if you're sincere about that thought, you are sincerely wrong. There is only one way to God. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, that means you, no one comes to the Father but by me. So he is the only way for us to spend eternity with God the Father. And God the Father gave his only Son to take our punishment for our sins. He paid the price in full. Think about this for a moment. That you're living in California, you're hurting financially, and somebody comes to you and says, you know, I understand that you're hurting financially, but I have made a deposit in the Bank of New York for $1 million. And it is yours. But you must go to New York and sign for it. Without your signature, you can't get the money. You can't have them send it Western Union. You can't have them do it by FedEx. None of these things. You've got to go to New York because they need your signature. Would you then say, no, I'd rather be poor and broke and hungry? No, you wouldn't. You would figure out a way to get to New York, to the Bank of New York, to sign so that you can get wealth untold. Well, God gave his only son to take our punishment for our sins. He paid the price in full. So the price has already been paid. So it is all for us to believe God, to accept the gift of his love to us, so that we can be free from condemnation. When we accept that free gift of love, then you will see the demonstration of God's own love for us. And we'll see it in this way. In that while we were still sinners, God died for us. Romans 5 and 8. You see, God did not wait until I clean myself up. God did not wait and is not waiting for me to fix something that's wrong in my life. God is not asking me to go do something first. He's saying, come as you are. While you are still a sinner, come to me. Because the price has been paid for your sin. And if you come to me, I'm going to set you free. Today, my beloved friends and family, if you are here and you've been questioning the love of God, I suggest you question it no more, knowing that he loved us so that he sent his only begotten son. He gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this, I say, is the true meaning of Christmas. May God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. If I do not see you between now and Christmas, have a blessed Christmas. Amen. I'll hand over to Pastor Pascal.